something. Oh, I was sitting at our little like breakfast nook, drinking a water from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And there was a wasp in the window, and the inside, it was just like, how did you get here? You know, when a bug gets in your house, you're like, how did you get here?
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's well, like, this place is sealed. Like,
none shall pass.
Yeah. Yeah. And somehow I coaxed the wasp into my straw. And I took it to the back door, and I blew, and it went boom like a rocket.
You spit water to wasp?
Yeah, it was so funny. I looked at Maddie. I was like, "That's the coolest thing I've ever done in my life."
Oh my gosh!
And she actually laughed, so it was cool.
Well, like if you're the wasp, let's just think about this from the wasp perspective. You're like, "Oh, look, it's like a really long." Like skirt or something.
It probably feels safe.
Yeah, it's like I'm just gonna wrap up in this.
It probably like you know I'm learning a lot about parenthood right now because I'm okay. About to be one.
It's like swaddle.
It was like think about the nest that they're in. It's those little paper things that have these little round things that are about the size of a straw. So it probably felt comforted. Like I'm back in my.
This is like my house, but it's solid red.
Yeah, all the things I'm saying, the terms I'm using right now to describe wasphood, like Christy Fox is like, it's called this. Quit saying round thing and egg thing. It's this. It's a larvae.
Which it's really nice.
It's not pupae. I don't know.
what the house would be called?
No, like what it is and its little thing.
Yeah.
What is it? I mean, it's a nest, but like...
It's like, I thought you were saying...
It's not that. Honeycomb, because they don't make honey.
No, they don't. They make people sad.
Yeah,
they make.
Yeah, sometimes I watch... There's this guy, this YouTube channel called Brave Wilderness.
Yeah.
And it's the... It's like the dumbest. Yeah, but I've watched every one. It's this guy who lets himself be stung by the most painful stings.
Watch dumb stuff on purpose.
I don't know, man. But like he'll like catch these bugs and then he'll let them sting him and then he'll just explain how painful it is.
What?
Yeah, he's just like writhing on the ground, like it's definitely worse than that other one. And you're like, that's bro, terrible. Why are you doing this? And then you're like, oh, you have 50 million views on this, so you've made a lot of money.
Wow.
So yeah, I guess you could take 30 minutes of painful sting.
That sounds terrible, though. Like, I don't know if I would do that for the views.
At one point, he stuck two hands into a fire ant hill and just stuck them in there and held them. And he got bit like 400 times.
Oh, man. I mean, look, it's like our good buddy Austin says, content don't sleep. But like, that's really, really tough.
But what could we do like that? Just like, you know, it's like for somebody. It's like dude's making a good living off of just getting stung once a month or something, you know? There's a wasp nest outside. I'm going to let it sting me and I'm going to do it in slow motion.
If you're going to have a successful YouTube channel, you've got to post every day.
Well, at this point, this guy's got, you know, billions of views.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, what's the thing? Like,
here's my thing about your wasp story is like the old school blowgun with a wasp, when you described it, I pictured it flying out of the straw and then flipping over in the air and sticking into the post of your porch with like a dart.
One of my greatest athletic feats happened with a wasp.
Which was?
This like thing happened in slow motion where there's a giant...
It wasn't on an ice skating day.
No, it's definitely not. Good ice skating, man. It's the most wonderful time of the year, except that people ice skate. But as a bold opinion, I'm just afraid. When you're 6'3 and you fall ice skating, it hurts way more than it should.
I just wish that you guys could understand how athletic Thomas is, and to watch him on ice skates is like so funny.
Yeah, but then then when you fall, someone could just slice your finger off like it's nothing.
Hands right up to your armpits, and you're just like, whoa.
Like a T-Rex.
Exactly.
So I was working in this warehouse, and... like a giant industrial fan was blowing.
Yeah.
And I watched this happen in slow motion. Like a wasp was flying towards it and it was pointed right at me. And I was like,
uh-oh.
Oh no, I'm about to get spit wadded with a wasp. Wow. And it's going to dagger me to death. And I had a piece of like, I had a...
Can we pause this story for a second? Just how extreme you are. It's going to dagger me to death.
Well, you know, that like, was it would hurt. Die on impact, as our friend Ashley Reedy would say. But I had like a baseball bat shaped piece of cardboard in my hand.
Nice.
And I like left-handed hit a home run with a wasp coming at me. And it just boom.
And the 0-2 pitch.
Pow! It was like, what am I going to do here? I watched it happen in slow motion and I just happened to swing and connect.
Oh my goodness. That's a really, really cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a surprising athletic feat for you, being that you are the hits leader for your high school in baseball.
I just thought it was a funny story.
It was a good story. Welcome to Ancient and New, where we discuss ways that Thomas takes wasps out of this world.
I mean, if you haven't spit-wadded a wasp, it's time. It was really cool. It was so cool. I was like, wow, that went so fast.
I just love the idea of this wasp being like, look how long that house is. This is amazing. All my friends are going to be so sick. Jealous.
They're going to be jealous. I invented something new. As it flew away.
Just crushes the post.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Do you have a scripture that you want to start us with today?
Yeah, we're going to go to our trusty buddy, Zephaniah, for all you.
Has anybody ever referred to the prophet Zephaniah in that way? Ever before? Man.
No, it's okay. So I've been kind of going through the minor prophets for a little while. I'm just reading like a chapter a day of the minor prophets, and they're really fascinating. You know, you typically get like two chapters of them just like raving,
just wailing.
Yeah. And you're like, oh no, the world's over. And then the Lord comes in and he's like,
yeah,
but also
it's like the Lord, it's like he throws haymakers and then he's also the one to bandage them up.
Yeah. It's amazing. You're just like, wow. But also, you know, the Israelites were just, they were just the worst.
Yeah.
They're terrible. But I like that you said that, because this particular bandage, I think, is just gorgeous.
Kind.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm excited, because I think we're going to do a little thing maybe next week where we have some like Patreon episodes drop. But they're not Patreon. They're free to everybody. So
I was like, did we start a Patreon?
No, but I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be cool. So be on the lookout for that if you're a listener to our show.
Patron-only podcast coming.
I think we've got. I think we're going to do an episode a day next week.
Oh, wow.
But they're going to be like 5 minutes. It's going to be great.
Yeah, little babies.
Just like I pulled into the parking lot at work. I have 5 minutes. What can I do? There you go. Nice. So I think it's going to be really cool. But okay. It made me think of that because I don't know what. Oh, it was something my friend Matthew Ruiz said on his episode that was just beautiful.
Cool.
And I almost stole it, but I'm like, wait, no, you're gonna hear that.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna not do it, but I will steal it later. And I told him already. I was like,
when we come back around and do that scripture again in 6 months.
I know. I asked this group of people to like record a little episode for us and have it to me by this past Monday.
Yeah.
This is me at my worst, by the way. And I texted that like last Tuesday, I think. Right. And Matthew responded on Wednesday with his. I did not see it. Didn't respond. Nothing. So I went back to text him on Monday to say, hey, can you send me your episode? And I was like, oh my gosh, Matthew, I'm so sorry.
This whole time he was just sitting there thinking, man, he really hated
that,
my
man.
Content.
No, it was absolutely gorgeous. So be on the lookout. All right. Zephaniah 3, verse 14.
Carry on.
Sing, daughter Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I feel like we could just leave it there and just say, hey, by the way, this is here. Because it's one of those things where like,
it's like, just stop the episode. Like,
right.
I'm Lee.
No, it's like, okay, the rejoice over you is singing. I've heard that for a long time. I don't think I could have told you it was in Zephaniah 3. Now I'm like, forever, that's in Zephaniah 3.
Right.
Forever, if I need to be encouraged by something, I can flip to Zephaniah 3 and read this. I was looking at you, so I said Lee instead of Reed. But read this passage. But I had a moment today where I thought about the Lord rejoicing over me with singing. And just like the mind warp of trying to understand what that may sound like. And I'm probably going to do a bit of a stretch here. But, you know, there's a few fortunate places for people in the New Testament where they get to hear God's voice. you know, and like some of them are like, it sounded like a thunderstorm. It sounded, you know, an angel from heaven spoke. And, you know, it's like, no, that was the voice of the Lord. They were just like, whoa, I've never heard anything like that. You know, it, I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of it. And because I'm, you know, I've heard, I know people who would say like, yeah, the Lord has spoken to me. And I've not been one of those people who's been that fortunate. And I'm, you know, in the sense that I haven't heard his audible voice before. Right. But so the idea of like him singing over me is just, it's just a, it's something I'm jealous of and excited to hear one day. But I did, I had a moment, this is where it's, I'm going to stretch a little bit, but just thinking about the Lord rejoicing over me with singing. And this, I'm taking this to something you've done before, which is saying like, I'm going to take every, you know, I'm going to take things throughout this day and just say they're little gifts from God, like things that happen in kind ways, whether that's like the sunlight breaking through the leaves or the fall colors right now, or, you know, I eat a very good sandwich. I'm just going to say it's a gift from the Lord or whatever.
Yeah.
And I did, I had that, I had a moment today where I thought like, what if I accepted things like that as the Lord singing over me? I think that would be really cool. Right. Like, before that, two verses before that says he will take delight in you. And, you know, taking delight, I don't know that I've ever said that about somebody or to somebody. Like, I delight in you. You know, like,
yeah.
Tell my wife I love her. I tell her how awesome I think she is. I tell her how beautiful she is. I don't know if I've ever said, I delight in you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I necessarily know what the word it's delight just, means.
It's like a formal, it's such a
it's formal so phrase. Formal. But I would imagine that, like, if I, you know, if somebody delighted in me, they would just, they would go out of their way to do things for me. They would go out of their way to say things to me that are sweet. You know, like just thinking about how big of a deal that word sounds and what you must feel about somebody in order to use it, which I need to start using it because it's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm cutting you off, but like, have you ever had that situation where you just, you didn't know where she was, but you randomly in town ran into Maddie?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, whenever that happens for me, like if I happen to see Christy at a red light or, I see her, walking across a parking lot or something like that, and I didn't know she was going to be there. If I'm ever surprised by her presence, my immediate feeling is I am like a little kid on Christmas. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like that to me is like, if I was going to try to describe delight, it's just like, it's like immediate, like an immediate sense of joy. Like, there she is.
Yeah.
Wow. Like it's almost like, it's a weird thing where it's like, you're somehow prettier because you surprised me. I didn't expect to see you here. And I just think that's such a cool, it's such a cool concept of like the Lord feeling that way about you being like surprised and just like, almost like, I just want to start clapping. Just like, yes, it's you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to take today and take moments that fill me with joy and accept them as delight and as the Lord singing. I think that's really a cool thought.
Yeah. You're going to have, you're about to experience this on an even deeper level in a couple of weeks too, when Jude's born and he's like getting sleepy and you've got him swaddled up and you're pacing in your house and you're kind of swinging him back and forth and, you know, just gently and you look into his face and you're singing to him, like you are going to, you're going to connect with this on such a deep and intimate level of like, oh my word, this thing that I feel about this little boy, this is how God feels about me. It's just, it's going to crush you. It's so, so, so cool. But, yeah, these are such generous. That's what I think about these verses. I think these verses are generous.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of never again will you fear any harm.
Wow.
Imagine that. Just thinking about that. And do not let your hands hang limp. Yeah. I just, you know, when I think of that, I think of sulking and sad and you know,
yeah,
fear and all the negative words. Like, I think of all the negative feeling words.
Did you ever get stuck at Jefferson or Glenwood or something, like, and your parents forgot to pick you up and you were just sitting there forever?
Third child, yes. That stuff happens.
He'll be all right.
He's fine.
Yeah, like that's what I'm picturing, is like when a kid is just sitting at Jefferson Middle School and their parents forgot to pick them up and they're just like, well, crap.
Yeah. Well, so I obviously did not think of me today.
You know, one thing I love in these verses that you read is that it ends with the Lord singing over us. It begins where you began, with a command for us to sing to him, which makes me think of musicals. Like in a staged musical, like a musical theater, that's really the only time that you see like two people just like passionately singing at one another.
Yeah.
You know, there's this beautiful song in Fiddler on the Roof called Do You Love Me?
Mm.
And it's just this couple that's been married forever and they have five kids and it's in a hard life. And after 25 years, he's just like, so like, do you love me?
Mm.
And they sing this song to each other. Yeah. Or just like, you know, how many cool, like, you know, like cool moments in like even Hamilton or Phantom of the Opera or something, of just like these two people just singing to each other. Mm. And it's like, this thing starts with sing, daughter of Zion, and it ends with the Lord will sing over you. And it's just like two people who love each other just singing at each other. I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I want to look at John chapter 10. And for a very specific reason, for a lot of folks, this will be a very familiar passage.
You said John 10. I got.
I did.
Yeah. Okay.
I tried to say John 10. I don't.
You did. I just. I was distracted by Yoshi.
We're 17 minutes in. That was the first yawn we've had from you.
I didn't even realize I yawned. Well, I mean, it's like 10 o'clock right now. I don't have a ton of excuses. You know, when we do this at 6:30, it's like, well, duh, he's yawning.
I thought to myself earlier in the episode, I was like, man, this is a yawnless tea episode.
I've been up since 5:26, so I feel, you know, I'm like, I feel pretty good right now.
Right.
I've had some exercise.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good for you. This is John chapter 10. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. This is really interesting because you talked about just kind of hearing the voice of the Lord and deciding to receive enjoyable things today as the song of the Lord to you, which is really cool. And I'm kind of pointing us towards something about just hearing the shepherd's voice. And Jesus goes on later in these verses to say, I am the good shepherd. He starts this thing out by talking about the way, like the old school way sheep pens were built back in the day. And that was like, it was usually a stone enclosure and, with one little opening for the door. And the idea being that the shepherd would lead the sheep into the pen at the end of the day. And then he would like sit down or lay down in the little opening and he would literally become the gate. Mm. He would bar the way to protect the sheep from getting out, protect them from anything else getting in. And he said, if anybody comes in some other way, that's a thief or a robber, mm-hmm. somebody trying to harm or steal one of the sheep. And he said, but they don't listen. The sheep don't listen to that dude's voice. They listen to the voice of the shepherd. And I've heard people say that like in the Middle East, like shepherds or, I've heard Tom talk about this in Italy too, that like a lot of times, like Italian shepherds, like shepherds would like share a lot of the same land. So like your flock of sheep and my flock of sheep during the day might graze on the same land and they would get all mixed up together. And I don't necessarily have a giant fenced in plot of land for my sheep to graze on. We're all just kind of using kind of public common land. And then at the end of the day, when I got ready to call my sheep, I would have a very specific call And even though my sheep are all mixed up with yours, my sheep would all hear my call and they would come to me. Mm. And your sheep would just keep eating the grass. And my sheep, I guess, would be like, wait, why do they get to stay here and eat the grass? I'm still hungry. Like, I don't know what they would be thinking. But like that would happen. They would hear specifically my call and they wouldn't respond to anybody else's call. Your call would be different than mine. Mm. That's a really cool thing. And so that whole, just laying out that whole thing to say this, and it's a question I think is really, 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 really important, which is who has a backstage pass into your emotions? Like, who gets to say things and it affects the way you feel about yourself?
Okay.
I think that is one of the most critically important questions that anybody can think about or understand about themselves. And what I want to say is, I'm not asking this question as somebody that has this 100% figured out. I'm pointing the finger at myself as well, just because I know that certain people's opinions of me mean a lot to me when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because what that person thinks about me or says about me, that shouldn't mean anything to me.
Right.
And sometimes it does when it really, really shouldn't. I think one of the most critical things that I can do intentionally for my own heart and mind is to examine, re-examine, and every now and then check up on who has a backstage pass.
Yeah.
Who have I credentialed to be able to affect me emotionally? Hmm. Because I'm supposed to be listening to the voice of the shepherd, and I'm not supposed to be listening to the voice of people who would want to harm me, who would want to disrupt my peace, who would want to take me out in any way. Like he says, the one who comes in not by the gate is a thief and a liar. Mm. Somebody that would want to hurt you or mistreat you in some way or make you feel terrible about yourself. And I need to not give certain voices any leeway in my life. Mm. And I'm not saying this like this is a light switch you flip. Like, oh, this person probably has too many credentials in my life. I'll just cut them off. I'm not saying it's that easy. I'm saying it's time to start. It's first of all, time to ask that question.
Yeah.
And to examine yourself and for me, to ask my friends, like, what do you think? Like, what do you see in me? Like, who have I given credentials to that shouldn't happen? Right.
Yeah. And I like what you're saying. Who am I giving it to? Because I think a lot of that comes from, who do I ask the opinion of, first of all?
Yeah, right.
Like, not everyone deserves to get a say on something that you're going through.
Amen.
You need a few people. Everybody does. If you're trying to do everything alone, it's not going to work. You need people you trust and care about who you can ask questions about things. And when they give you input, you can run with it. But when you like use a shotgun to decide and it's just hitting the target everywhere, and just you're an like
Instagram poll.
Yeah. You're like, okay, how do we handle this situation? It's like, right. Well, you're going to get a hodgepodge and then shame, you know, it's like, that's how that works. So yeah, I think that's a good start. And I like what you're saying, because there in my time on earth, there have been people who have been really good at that in my life. And there've been people like me who have been really bad at that in my life. And I've always jealous is not the right word. Honestly, I've always been someone who's been like, I want that so bad of that person. Mm-hmm. I want the person who, it's not that they don't give a crap about what anybody thinks about them.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But it's like, they're so unaffected by what people think about them. It's a different thing. It's not like, because when you just don't give a crap what anybody thinks about you, you become a turd, you know, like you have a certain smell about you and everyone can smell it.
Yeah.
But when you just like, you know, when you're unaffected by what people think about you, you can just be yourself. You turn into that guy from, was it the Fellowship of the Ring? Who is it?
Which
who
one?
Could put the ring on and nothing happens to
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Fellowship of the Ring. That's Tom Bombadil.
Tom Bombadil. That's right. He's like the greatest character in the whole
laughs.
Thing. I personally think he laughs at everything.
Flips the ring. And
flips the ring around. He has no power over him.
Wow.
He's brilliant. And I have friends who are like that, and it makes me like so happy to be around them. And it also makes me be like, gosh, I think that's so cool. I want that. Like my friend Sam Bingham, like he is the least affected by what people think about it. And it has been like, it's been one of my favorite things about him since we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, like just didn't care. My friend Devin Rodriguez, same thing.
Yeah.
Just didn't, you know, it's like unaffected by people's opinions about things. And it's such an attractive quality. And it also cuts out a lot of room for shame.
Yeah.
A lot of room for fear and worry about, you know, opinions of other people. It's what you're saying.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously, like, primarily, I need to get good at knowing the voice of the shepherd, first of all. Yeah. Like, turning to him in moments where I'm looking for some advice. Turning my attention to him all day long. Like, when I do experience something lovely, to thank him for it. When I do experience some fear, just to be honest about it. When I do come into a moment of temptation, just tell him straight up, I'm tempted by this, or and this is why, you know, or whatever it is. Just be, he already knows everything anyway, but to be completely honest and completely raw with him about everything I'm thinking and give him space to just speak into my life, which, by the way, may mean that I need to get a little quieter, and have a little less, you know, immediate distraction every time anything stops, which I think is hard for a lot of folks. I know it is for me, but yeah, I mean, to really, really pay attention to who am I listening to? Who do I trust? Who do I go to, and why? And have they earned that spot for me? There's a thing I think in, I was going to say it's a thing in kind of modern culture, but I think it's actually especially true in Christian culture of, like, there's, you know, you want to be generous. And so there's just this kind of idea that, like, well, everybody probably has a point. Some people really, really don't have a point. And that doesn't mean they don't have words. Some people have a lot of words and they really, really, really don't have a point. And I don't need to assume that there's, yeah, I need to listen to this because there's probably something in there that's right. It's like, there may be nothing in there that's right. I need to be a little more intentional about who I listen to, why, and really make sure that that person has earned that VIP badge. I don't need to go throwing those all over the place. Yeah. I mean, it's something that, I definitely, definitely want to be intentional about, I think.
Cool.
I wonder if people could hear, like, most of the time that you were sharing, I was playing fetch with this dog.
Well, if they could hear what she's doing right now, they would probably be like, what is going on? She's licking her paws, and you're like, it's an unmistakable sound. But if you didn't know there was a dog here, you'd be like,
what are you guys doing on this podcast? Are you
licking your shirt? What's going on, Thomas?
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, thanks for joining us. It's a beautiful fall day as we record this.
It is beautiful. Look at it. It's supposed to be like 70 today.
I know.
So today. My nose is a little bit like
stopped up.
Yeah, it's just there, you know?
Yeah.
So every once in a while I say a word wrong right now. And it's just because it gets caught in me.
Yeah, yeah. The word just gets stuck in your throat.
Yeah.
In your nose. Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous here. We wish you guys could see it. But this is, of course, an audio medium.
I always forget that.
What
if it wasn't? What if we... No, that'd be so weird.
Oh, if we filmed this? Yeah, that would be terrible.
YouTube channel or something?
It would just... It would be like... We'd have to rename it The Yawn Show.
The Yawn Cast.
Yawn and Yosh from Lee and Thomas. Guys, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
I don't always know how I'm gonna cope with everything I have to face today. And I don't feet, or how I'm ever gonna find my way. But you're a shepherd and you're leading me to places I would never dare to go. And your word is a lamp unto my feet. And the next step is the only one you'll show. Lord, you never leave. but fear guides me where I should never go. And Lord, you never ask that I light up my own path. You're telling me to follow, not to know. And you're a shepherd, and you're leading me to places I would never dare to go. And your word is a lamp unto my feet, and the next step is the only one you'll show. And the next step is the only one you'll show.